You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Hey, good Sunday morning, everybody. Good to have you attending Breakout Radio Church here on this second Sunday morning of October. Well, we have been having the rain in Austin, Texas. It has been coming down. We're thankful for the rain. We've had lots of rain. And Gina's granddaughter, Megan, is getting married next weekend. And we're praying there be no rain.
Yes, right? We are.
Well, welcome to Breakout Radio Church on this Sunday morning in October, and we're broadcasting live here from our ministry center in Austin, Texas. And Breakout Radio Church is a global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we're doing. And of course, here at BRC, we are a house of prayer for all nations. And Gene is coming, and we are welcoming all of our church members.
Welcome, Breakout family. We're so thankful for all of you today and so happy that you're joining us.
Yes, we are.
For Breakout Radio Church.
Here we are. We never thought we would have a radio church, did we, Gene?
No, we did not.
We've been in the ministry now for full-time ministry over 51 years, and here we are leading a radio church. And people are driving down the road, attending church with us today, working, maybe on the beach today. I don't know where they're at. Maybe getting ready to board a plane. Maybe they're on a plane and listening with their earbuds. I don't know, but we're glad to have you.
Yes,
and
we are.
Just want all of you church members to know that I have that we've been praying for you. I have called every one of your names, every member of our church. I've called every one of your names this morning in prayer. In fact, I'm holding your names in my hand right now. We're gonna pray for you, whatever it may be. And we're just whatever is happening in your life, whatever needs you might have, and we just pray that you'll be blessed. We want to pray for Pastor B.K. Jones, who's a member of our church. She travels to Africa to minister this week, and all of you that have special needs. So, Father, Gene and I are so thankful to lead Breakout Radio Church now in our third year. Been going for a long time. We're grateful and thankful for our church members.
Yes, we are.
That are across America and around the world, wherever they may be, whatever they may be doing, listening today, or maybe a replay at 10 o'clock or sometime 8 o'clock or 8 p.m. during the week. But we're thankful today for our church members, and we bless them as we hold the names of our members in our hand. We're also thankful for all of those that may be visiting Breakout Radio Church. We pray the will, plan, and purpose of God be done in this service today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And today, Gene, I'm preaching to all the wives, and I have learned not everything, but the past 57 years, you've taught me a lot of things about wives and how a wife should treat their husband, et cetera, et cetera. So last Sunday, I preached a special message to husbands. Now this Sunday, a message to wives. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. So we're going to get started, and we're going to have some praise and worship, and then I'm going to come back, and I am going to minister today. So here we go. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church.
Something that's of worth. that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
We just worship you today here at Breakout Radio Church on this Sunday morning. We lift up holy hands to you, Holy God. We want you to know, Lord, we love you today. May you be exalted, Lord Jesus. May you be high and lifted up here at Breakout Radio Church on this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. We honor you today. We magnify you. We bless your name today. We are so thankful. So thankful. We present our day to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm so grateful. This morning I woke up and I could walk, I could talk, I could see, I could hear, I could feel, I could taste, I could smell. I wasn't in jail or the hospital or prison. I'm so blessed today. Lord, we are so very, very thankful today. And Gene and I are so grateful that we have the opportunity to lead Breakout Radio Church. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read today from several different translations of the Bible. And I want to read from the same chapter that I read from last Sunday morning, from Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'm going to begin with verse number 21, Ephesians 5:21. Here's what it says: out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Well, this is good. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should submit likewise to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white milk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They really do themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." God said it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper, a companion. So last Sunday, I shared a special message for all husbands. So this morning, I have a special message for all wives. And, of course, Gene has helped me with over the years with this subject. Don't claim to know everything, but I'm going to share with you some things, wives, that I have learned over the years of my 57 years of marriage. Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul shares the bottom line for marriage. He said, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The husband is to love the wife, and you wives are to respect your husband." I like the Amplified version. Here's what it said: "The wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear." So today, I understand that a marriage might be made in heaven, but it takes a lifetime to work it out on earth. I did give this prophecy to one couple. They were single, going together, and I said, "You guys have a marriage made in heaven." But that does happen, but it takes a lifetime to work it out on earth. Gene and I, after being married for 57 years, we are still working out our marriage. And so we don't live in a perfect world, and a marriage is never perfect. It takes a lot of work, and more so, I believe now, more than ever before. Divorce is so prevalent, it's so rampant in our nation. and is becoming more so. Life is so busy, so complicated. There are so many stresses and stressors in life that is causing about 50% of all marriages to end in divorce, and that is even the statistics in the church, which is very sad. And many other marriages, of course, are on the rocks or in the process of getting divorced. A lot of husbands and wives only keeping the marriage together for the sake of their children. A lot of unhappy marriages. So I wanted to share some things today that might be helpful. You know, when Gene and I started the ministry, I wanted Gene to do several things that were out of her comfort zone. I wanted her to learn how to play the piano. So before we went in full-time ministry in Wichita Falls, Texas, I bought Gene this piano because I thought, you know, if I'm going to be successful in ministry, then Gene's going to have to play the piano. Because I remember my dad was a preacher in the Assemblies of God, and when he would turn in his resume or do an interview concerning pastoring a church, the first thing they would ask him was this: does your wife play the piano? So I thought if Gene and I were going to be successful in the ministry, she had to learn how to play the piano. So I bought her this piano, this upright piano with a mirror on the front so she could see herself when she played. And I just imagined that Gene was going to be tickling the ivories. She was going to be playing the piano, and I was going to be preaching, and we were going to be a success in marriage and success in ministry and a success in life. I found her the best piano teacher that I could find, and every week she would have these piano lessons, and she would practice on how to play the piano. And one day I was listening to her practicing the piano, and I was horrified, thinking, Gene is never going to learn how to play the piano. So I finally discovered that I had to let Jean find her place in life and the place where she was comfortable in the gifts and talents and abilities. I asked her today if she wanted to help me preach, if she wanted to preach a little while concerning a special message for wives. And she said to me, Dale, you know that I'm not a preacher. That is not what I do. So a wife needs to find out what they do and try to explain to their husbands, this is what I do and what I don't do. Now, I'm not talking about not doing keeping the house clean or not doing cooking or not doing certain things concerning the marriage and home, but I'm talking about gifts and talents and abilities and ministry situations in particular. I remember when Gene and I first went in the ministry, I wanted her to be more spiritual because we would get with other pastors and their wives. We would begin to pray, and I would hear other wives praying out loud and speaking in tongues. And so one day, as a young preacher, pastor, I approached Gene and I said, honey, you know that when we get together, I don't hear you praying out loud. I don't hear you praying in tongues and singing in tongues, speaking in tongues. And I said to her, Gene, you know that God is not nervous. You can pray out loud or sing out loud or speak in tongues out loud. And she said to me in response to my statement, and Dale, God is not deaf either. He hears me. He hears me when I preach. When I speak and when I pray, even if I don't pray very loud. So I've had to learn that Jean has certain characteristics that she was made fearfully and wonderfully made in a certain way, with a certain personality, and she had to explain to me how that works. So a wife needs to explain to her husband about her personalities, her giftings, and her talents, and she must ask and request her husband not to be pressed out of measure. Maybe he wants her to do certain things in life when she is not gifted in that area, and so she needs to make an appeal to her husband. That's not really what she does. So, You know, wives must understand, husbands must understand that and be very protective of his wife. And his wife, you wives need to request that of her, of your husband. You know, years ago, a pastor in a large church in North Carolina, he had over 2,000 people in attendance, and he asked me to come and minister at his church. And that he had scheduled Gene to preach or minister to a women's group in his church on a Thursday. And I said to the pastor, my wife does not speak in public. That is not her gift. That's not what she does. He said, well, you know, a preacher, every minister that comes to minister at my church, the wife is requested to speak to our women's group. And I said, well, my wife does not do that. He said, well, you know, I'm not going to pay for your wife's flight. I'll pay for your flight. I'm not going to pay for your wife's flight. And I said to him, if you don't pay for my wife's flight, I'm not coming either to minister your church. So he canceled me there and then. And some people, you know, some other ministers said, you know, you had an opportunity to minister in one of the largest churches at that time in North Carolina. I said, well, if he's not going to honor my wife, then I'm not going to go. So I knew that I had to protect my wife. I was not going to put her in that position. So a wife should not be required to be a singer, a piano player, a speaker, a loud prayer. She's got to operate in her talent zone, her gift zone, you're going to have a good marriage. So you wives need to explain that to your husband. So I want to share some things to you, wife, I believe that's going to help your marriage. And, you know, there's a lot of books you could read. There's so many books out there. When Gene and I first got married, as I shared last week, we didn't have we didn't hear any sermons on marriage. There was not any books out on Christian marriages principles like we have today. There's so many things out there. There's a lot of YouTube. There's a lot of books, and some of them are good, and some of them are not so good, and some of them are very, very bad. You know, recently, Gene and I was reading a book by a lady that has sold millions of copies of books, and we just were appalled about what she was writing. And yet so many women's marriages have been damaged or destroyed by this woman's writings. And I'm not going to call her name, but I would encourage you not to read her book. You know, she says things in her book like, a wife must have long hair. A man would never marry a woman with short hair. You know, you may be a new bride. You may feel abandoned. You cannot be offended when your husband focuses on something other than you. She'll be expected to go with his flow. Her husband does not have the right for her to follow him. He will finally say goodbye to her overwrought parents. She shall be tough, full of life, joy, learn how to tuck in that quivering lip and put a smile on her face. She must learn how to pay bills, make appointments, entertain guests with a competence that would be satisfactory to her husband. She will never have him to herself. He belongs to other people. He will have little tolerance for those women who are dragging their feet, making excuses or whining. He expects her to wait on him hand and foot and learn how to serve with joy. She's expected to stand by a man, be obedient. If she opposes him, he will have to go on without her. It's just there are some books like that that can be very damaging. And so you have to be very careful what you read, what you hear, and not take everything at face value. But you need to read the Bible. You need to work together. And Gene and I, over the years, we have learned that we are to submit one to another, that we are to submit to each other, and that we are to operate by what we call consensus, that when we make decisions in life, there must be a consensus or an agreement. And if I have a check about something that we should or should not do, then I express that to Jean, and she does the same to me as well. So when buying a home, making a move, I'm talking about major decisions, how we're going to discipline our children, where we're going to go to church, when business we're going to have, or any type of transitions, then we are to consult one another. And, that's called operating by consensus, submitting one to another. Sure, I'm the leader of the family, but if I'm going to be the leader of the marriage, I have got to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That means that I'm going to have to love her as Christ loved the church, be gentle and kind to her. And, you know, the law of kindness, wives need kindness, I guess, much as they need anything. An angry husband, a husband that puts down his wife, will not have a glowing, happy wife. And, you know, people can look into the face of a wife and determine a lot about a husband. So a wife that is sad, unhappy, that is not a good example of marriage, and the husband needs to look at that. So, you know, Gene and I try to operate in agreement, in harmony, in accord, unity, unanimity, solidarity, and you know, the only way we can do that, of course, is to spend time in prayer. And so I just encourage you wives to say to your husbands, can we pray with each other on a daily basis? Doesn't have to be an hour, doesn't have to be a half hour. I'm not saying how much time it needs to be, but the Bible said there is power in a husband and a wife praying together. And when you can't come to a consensus, say, let's pray about this. Let's put it on hold and pray about it until we can come into an agreement. And, you know, I looked up the original word for a consensus. The Latin word is agreement. Consensus, agreed, from the verb consens tar. I'm not much of a Greek person or a Latin person, but it all means to operate in agreement. And so the power of the husband and a wife agreeing, the husband, of course, taking the lead, but the two of them working out, if it's all about the husband, what he wants you to do, wives, and how he's going to do it. And when husbands begin to say, I'm the man of the house, I'm the man that wears the pants, I'll make the final decision, you know there is trouble in your marriage, because Christ would never, ever treat the church that way. But if you're going to have a successful marriage, there are some things that you need to realize, and I just want to share, there are three basic needs of a husband that you wives need to discern. And I've learned this not by scripture or about out of some book, but I've learned it by observing marriages. The first thing that a husband needs in a marriage is he needs affirmation. The husband needs to know how wonderful he is, how great he is. You know, I've been in preaching for 52 years. Over 15,000 times I've ministered, and not one time have we ever left a church service where Gene was critical of me or tried to line me out or share some things I could have done, should have done. She's always been encouraging. A husband needs affirmation, because a husband can be very hard on himself. He can criticize himself. So the wife does not need to be critical of her husband, because he will do that himself. But she needs to be affirming. She needs to tell him how great he is, how wonderful he is. And a husband, he never gets tired of hearing how great he is, how excellent he is, how wonderful he is, how magnificent he is. There's a lot of words there would describe what a husband needs. He needs the affirmation of his wife. He does not need to hear his wife say, you know, Ted, you know, he loves his wife, he's great, he's He's more complimentary. A husband does not want his wife to compare him to other men, how great they are. He needs to know how great he is, how blessed his wife is to have him as her husband. He needs affirmation. The second thing a husband needs from a wife is he needs sex. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, now getting down to the questions you ask in your letter to me, this is the Apostle Paul writing from 1 Corinthians 7. He said, first, it is a good thing to have sexual relations, certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife sexually, the wife seeking to satisfy her husband sexually. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it, and it's for the purpose of prayer and fasting, but only for such times, then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. If I'm not, understand, commanding these periods of abstinence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. You know, in counseling with men and men sharing with me, I've learned that according to most men, the number one problem in marriages today is sex. Women either being fragile or being cold and indifferent. Many women not desiring to have sexual relationships with their husband because maybe they've been sexually abused or touched inappropriately in their youth, or maybe they just don't have any type of sex drive. And so this is something that husbands and wives should be talking about. There's so much out there. It's pornography and other women that are that have seducing spirits, and a wife needs to be talking to her husband about this, because second of all, the basic need of a husband is sex. The third need is service. A husband needs service. He needs a wife that's going to support his dreams and visions and his callings, a wife that will stand with him and walk through life with him. One of my favorite songs is not a Christian song, but it's a country song, a secular song called Walk Through This World With Me. And I can honestly say that Jean has always supported my dreams and my visions. She's always said, whatever you do, from the very night that I was called to preach. And I was so concerned because I was wondering all the way home that night in Wichita Falls, Texas, in June of 1966, what is Jean going to say when I tell her that I no longer want to be a radio announcer or a sportscaster or an engineer, even though I'd gone for school and she had sacrificed a long time staying with her parents or my parents while I went off to Dallas because we could not afford to rent an apartment. And she had sacrificed for me to be a radio announcer and a radio engineer. What was she going to say now that I was going, that I wanted to leave that and be a preacher or a pastor, an evangelist? But when I got home and told her, she said to me, Dale, whatever you do, I'll do. Wherever you go, I'll go. And she was willing to do that. We had bought a home, our first home in Wichita Falls, Texas. We sold our home, our furniture, put everything extra that we owned in a 35 Scuzzo trailer, started down the road with two children, but Jean never complained. And we've lived in different homes in the past 52 years. She's never complained. And, of course, when we make decisions about where we want to move, what do we want to do, We make those decisions together, but Jean has always served my calling, and she has always said, I'm going to walk through this world with you, and where you go, I'll go, and what you do, I will do. Where you lodge, I will lodge, and I'm so grateful for that. And wives that do not support their husbands, and I know that there's a time to possibly confront your husband and say, I believe this is the wrong decision. I remember one time when I was leading a Christian school and I was wanting to hire an administrator who was a lady, and Jean kept coming to me and appealing to me and then finally confronting me. You know, somebody says, well, is there a time to confront your husband? Well, I believe there is a time to confront your husband. I believe that marriages must consist primarily of mutual love, support, and encouragement. But because we're all fallible and prone to shortcomings, there are times when we need to be confronted by the person close to us, and that is our wife. Tradition has given this right to the husband, but not to the wife. The Bible, however, is very clear on this matter. The wife has the right and responsibility to confront her husband at times in a loving, kind, considerate way. And I believe the husband has the responsibility to listen to his wife. That is one of the things that a wife respects her husband, but he, in that respect, he also listens to his wife. And so, you know, Jean kept appealing to me, and finally she confronted me about this decision, but I would not listen to her. There was no mutual respect. I was just going to go because I felt good about it, and I felt like that this was the will of God, so I went ahead. And it almost destroyed the Christian school. In fact, I went up. She asked for a meeting one morning. I went up there, and she had all of the teachers that were confronting me and saying, you know, I'm going to take over the school, and these teachers are in agreement with me. I had to terminate her on the spot and others that were in agreement with her so we wouldn't have rebellion. But you know what I learned? I learned that I should be listening to Jean Gentry. And if she has a major check about it, I'm just not going to do it. And so a husband needs to listen to his wife, but a wife needs to serve her husband. And that does not mean just in ministry. You know, I love for Jean to rub my back, or lay out my clothes at night, or lay out my clothes when I'm fixing to go somewhere. You say, well, that's kind of ridiculous. Or bring me a meal, or serve me. And a wife may say, well, let him pick up his own clothes. Let him serve himself. You know, that is true, and he could probably do that. I'm just talking about things that will help make a marriage better. And I love it when Jean brings me some food. We're watching a ball game, and she prepares my meal, brings it upstairs, and puts it on a tray, and has it all one looking nice for me. And when she does the small things for me, you know, it's the small things that can really, really matter. And so a husband loves it when his wife serves him. So the three basic needs of a husband is that he needs affirmation. He needs sex. And I want to say that it's not sex on demand. You know, I believe that a husband and wife needs to serve each other in this way. But a husband is not to abuse his wife. It is not sex on demand. It's loving, kindness, tender, and gentle, tenderly and gently. And so, it's not. You may need to get sports on demand. You may need to get a movie on demand, but it's not a wife on demand. And so those things can be very, very helpful. I want to read some scriptures from the Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm thankful that I have a Proverbs 31 woman. And I just want to read some of the attributes of a Proverbs 31 woman. I trust I'm doing a good job. I don't hear anybody saying amen right now, but I'm doing my best. A Proverbs 31 woman says a good woman, Proverbs 31 chapter concerning a wife, says a good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family, organizing her day. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work, rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. You know, that's why that I believe that, primarily a wife should be the keeper of the home. Now, a wife may need to work outside the home. I'm certainly not opposed to that if that is... If she has her husband's approval on that. But I believe the first calling is she gives oversight to the home. And a wife is one that sets the tenor of the home, the family. And even if she works outside the home, the husband, he can oversee the business, but the wife oversees the home. And I believe she should have the privilege of being decorate her own home and organize the home. And I just believe that the wife is the keeper of the home. That doesn't mean the husband should not help his wife be productive and work alongside her, but she needs to lead the organization of the home. And it says she's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. Her husband is greatly respected. She always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. She always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household. She keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Let me say to you, husbands, you should never allow your children to disrespect their mother. Never, ever allow your children to disrespect their mother. So her children respect her, bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. That's what a husband can say to a wife. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. What does that mean? That a wife gets older as time goes on, and she may not have the same figure that she had when y'all got married. And so a husband should not put down his wife because she's gained a few pounds or some extra pounds and sometimes many pounds. And he must never put her down, and she must not always be in fear that her husband is not going to accept her because she does not look the same when they were on their honeymoon, or she may not weigh the same. What does it say? Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades, but the woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her husbands everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. I like this. I like this final translation of a Proverbs 31 woman. She's a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. That's good. She has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule for everything she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household. Boy, that is good. She watches for her household. She watches for her husband. You got to realize there's a lot of seducing spirits out there. Women that want to seduce your husband. That's why when your husband comes home at night, you don't need to be in a house coat and in curlers. Yeah, and with a bad breath. You need to be fixed up, and your husband does not need to come home to a cold meal or saying, well, I hadn't felt like getting anything done today, and we're going to have some leftovers tonight. Your husband needs to be celebrated when he comes home. He needs to come home to a nice meal. He needs to come home unless your wife is at work, he needs to come home to a wife that is happy, not a wife that has complained all day about all that she's had to do and everything that has gone wrong. He may have had all kinds of problems at the office or wherever on the job. He may have been chewed out or cursed out. He needs to come home to a warm, a husband needs to come home to like a warm fireplace. You know, in the wintertime, one thing I love about the wintertime is that Gene and I can sit by a warm fire where it's cozy. And that's the atmosphere that a husband needs to come home to when he comes home at the end of the day, to a warm, cozy household where he's welcomed and loved and his wife looks beautiful. And you say, well, that's just a pipe dream. I'm talking about, you can let your marriage go, or you can work on your marriage. And wives, it's up to you. And there's a lot, I just want to tell you, there's a lot of competition out there. If a husband's been around a beautiful woman all day, and women that are giving him their phone number, or there's a lot of seducing spirits out there. And so when he comes home, you need to provide the proper atmosphere has been going on, and not confront him with all kinds of problems, but give it a rest, and not have him correct the children when he comes home. And speaking of a wife providing a nice atmosphere, don't allow your meal time to be disrupted by unruly children. And don't correct your children during a meal if at all possible, or send them to their room. A meal should be a time of quietness and good conversation, and should be a time of where everyone is enjoying themselves if at all possible. So, you know, there are many fine women in the world, but you're the best of them all. Charm can be deceptive, and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised, and, of course, who reverences her husband. I think I've carried a lot covered a lot of territory, and Jean is smiling, and she's saying, yeah, I think you have. Just want to give you a few more things that might help your marriage very quickly. I can't cover them all, and I don't know it all, but a few things that might help your marriage, wives, to be a better wife and to have your marriage in these days when marriages are so under attack. Pray with your husband each day if possible. Gene and I love it when we have our coffee time, and then we have our prayers of agreement. Sometimes we take a prayer walk, and if not, we just have our prayers of agreement. The Bible says there's something very powerful when husbands and wives pray together. And encourage your husband to take you out on a weekly date where you have romance in your marriage. Don't be afraid to leave your children at home with somebody else. You know, sometimes marriages end after children grow up and go away from home because it's been a child-centered home. Don't have a child-centered home where everything revolves around your children. Your husband comes first. You won't have your children. You'll have your children always, but you won't have them at home. But you'll have your husband. And so remember that there's times when you and your husband need to be alone, you need to spend time together, just the two of you. I want to say, if there is verbal or physical abuse in the home, don't stay in that home. If there's adultery going on, the husband must repent, must get help. A husband that cannot have affairs with another woman and expect his wife to stay with him. You must protect your children. You must protect yourself. I believe there's two reasons for divorce. One is adultery, and another one is physical abuse. And Jesus has already died for us. He does not expect you wives to die by putting you or your children at risk. And so when anger starts developing, your husband starts verbally abusing you, the next thing, he will begin to physically abuse you. Get out of that marriage. Get out of that marriage and don't put up with physical abuse because it's going to be bad. Love your husband and tell him what pleases you. You must let him know what pleases you, what satisfies you, and you must learn to submit to one another. Be alert to inordinate soul ties. There's a lot of women damage their marriage by having a best friend who they give more attention to than their husband, or they develop inordinate soul ties with other women. I'm not talking about having good friendships. I'm talking about where other women influence your life more than your husband does. And pray for your marriage every day. Ask other people. When your marriage gets in trouble, reach out to other people. Gina's coming, and we're going to pray right now for you wives. I don't know if I've done very well or not, Gene, but you've taught me. I did not have any teaching when we got married about how to treat my wife. It took me a while, but you have taught me and instructed me over the years, and my desires to be a good husband, and I know your desires to be a good wife. And so is there anything else I need to add?
Well, I think the thing that has helped us is communication. If you don't communicate with each other, you don't know what needs you have. And I know when we first got married, I just kept quiet and I didn't say anything. And that's really my nature, but you must communicate. Every morning we have coffee together. We talk about our day. We communicate. And, you know, you can't be spiritual all the time. We do live in the natural also every day. And so I think that as long as you can express yourself and talk about it, sometimes, you know, you don't feel spiritual. Sometimes you say, well, I'm having a hard day. And it's okay to say that. And I think if we communicate, then each other, we know where each other's at, and we know how to help each other. And I think that's helped us a lot, is to be able to communicate and care about each other and love each other.
Okay. Well, I'm in agreement. And when we say something we shouldn't say, if we hurt each other, we need to say, I'm sorry.
It's okay,
or forgive
to
me.
Say I'm sorry or forgive me. Yes,
yeah, it is.
Is.
Father Gene and I, we set ourselves in agreement for all the wives that are listening here today, a part of Breakout Radio Church, those that may be visiting. We just pray for marriages. We pray for you wives to respect your husbands and to live in harmony and to be able to share with your husband what's going on. Not be afraid. Say, can we talk? And here is what I'd like to share. And so I pray that you will love your husband, respect your husband, and we speak blessings over your marriage in Jesus' name. And I want to give an invitation for any of you that may not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you are not a Christian, I want you to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you would like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com and click on Breakout Radio Church, and then you can click on the membership link, put your information in there, and submit it to us. We'll add your name to our list, be praying for you, and if you need us, you can contact us. There's all information. And before we run out of time, we want to give you an opportunity to give. Remember that Breakout Radio Church is supported by the tithes and offerings of you church members. If we're your primary church and we're your pastors, we encourage you to give each paycheck. And all you have to do to give today is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. Click on the donate button. You're going to see Gene and I's picture there. And you click again on the donate button, which will take you to PayPal, credit card, debit card. You can give your tithes and offerings, your contributions to and use your PayPal credit card or your debit card. Also, remember that your tithes and offerings, your gifts are tax deductible. And if you want to make out a check, you can make out your check to Breakout Ministries, and that's P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. And several times during the week, Gene goes to the mailbox. Our mailbox is quite a ways from us. We live in a suburb of Austin, Texas. But you're very happy when you get a check from our members, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I so appreciate all of our members and our partners. And this is the way our ministry operates. We don't have major donors, but we just believe God every day. That he provides daily bread, monthly fruit. So we're so thankful and grateful for all of you that sow into this ministry.
Yes, we are. And we bless y'all in Jesus' name. We bless those of you that are giving today.
Yes.
We are so very, very thankful and grateful. We ask God to bless and multiply the seed that you have sown and the seed that you are sowing in the name of Jesus. If you're visiting our church, you'd like to give an offering, there's no pressure, but if you'd like to give, we'd be very, very, very thankful and grateful. And we want to pray for those that are ministering on Preaching Sunday at bpnradio.com. We have a number of members that preach every Sunday. If you'd like to preach every Sunday, all you have to do is just contact Rick Gentry, and we have some spots, places available where you can preach across America and around the world. We want to pray today for those that are preaching on Preaching Sunday, B.K. Jones, Donald Brown, Michael Schonborn, Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn, James Parker, Tammy Logan, Eugene Bullard, Roy Beard, and others that are preaching today. We have a number of pastors that are members of Breakout Radio Church. As you go to minister this morning at your church, we just want to bless you and ask God to give you a wonderful, wonderful day today and bless your ministry. Well, it's been a wonderful Sunday morning, hasn't it?
It's been a great day.
Yeah, it has. And speaking of ministries, our local pastor, Bill Hart, will be preaching next on bpnradio.com. And we've been in a relationship with Bill and Sue Hart for over 30 years. And sometimes we minister at that church, and sometimes we just go and listen to him. So, well, it's been a wonderful day. We love you so very, very much. We pray that you'll have a good week, all that you put your hand to do. And we just declare, may the joy of the Lord be your strength, and may he give you the desires of your heart in all that you put your hand to do. We love you so very, very much. We appreciate Michael Schonborn and Aliona Pertuca with us today, helping edit and helping this broadcast. And I love you, Gene. Thank you for being a wonderful wife.
I love you. Thank you for being a wonderful husband.
Walk through this world with me.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. God bless all of you. Y'all have a wonderful day. And for those of you women that don't have a husband and you're praying for a godly husband, we, Gene and I, set ourselves in agreement, one that will be kind to you, love you, and cherish you. Don't accept second best.
That's right.
All right. God bless you. Have a wonderful
day.
Have
a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
We love you.
All right. God bless.